Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإما تعرضن عنهم ابتغاء رحمة من ربك ترجوها فلا تقل لهم فقل لهم قولا ميسورا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected ulama ikram, my dear elders and brothers and sisters that are listening on the receiver, every action of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On the one hand, we will see in every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest form of dedication to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will find the highest form of ikhlas and sincerity. We will find the highest form of ihsan and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we look at the lives of the honorable and glorious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that they also dedicated their lives to Allah Rabbul Izzat in every aspect of the way of their lives. And then we will find their unprecedented dedication to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that actually becomes a very firm precedence for us. As we go further and further away from the era and the time of Nubuwat, the era and the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we find that the gulf between us and Sahaba, the gulf between us and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam widens day by day. When we just take an example of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's every action, many a times we hear many incidents and many occasions in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each spending of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was most beloved to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then we will also find that there were those spendings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those sadaqat and those charities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cherished to such an extent that not only did Allah ta'ala acknowledge it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshrines it in the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by way of example, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ أُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبُسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا. Just one example in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will leave us wondering. A young boy comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has requested that you give me your upper garment. Now we all know that in those days they used to wear the chadar, like how we have our ihram, the upper and the lower chadar or the garment. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to this young boy, my brother, this is the only piece of cloth that I have. One is the lower covering, but this is the only piece of cloth that I have. And perhaps you may say to your mother that when I have another piece, I will send this to her. The young boy goes home, he explains to his mother, and she comes back and she sends him back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this youngster says, my mother has requested that she has that particular chadar. What does the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes out that chadar, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gives it to that youngster. That on the one hand. On the other hand, it is the time for salat that now comes in. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have sufficient now to cover himself and to come out. Sahaba-i-kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in are waiting for the salat. And when they come, they find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this condition. A condition where Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had to utilize and use the cloth of someone else to cover himself now to perform his salat. Friends, that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has acknowledged and enshrined in the Quran Kareem. Then we will find, before that ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ بَتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرُجُوهَا فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. There were those occasions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have that much to give someone. But in that state and in that condition, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have that much. And this is a very important lesson for us. And perhaps between our attitude and the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very fine line. That Allah Rabbul Izzat bears testimony to this, that even at that time when you had to turn away from them, even at that time when you had to turn away from them, the commentators have expressed that there were also occasions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perhaps would have something. But giving a beggar at that time would have been detrimental to the beggar himself. Or he did not have anything. At that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even not giving, إِبْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرُجُوهَا. What was the reason that you did not give? Even in not giving, you were in pursuit. You were searching for the rahmah of Allah, which you were most desirous of. Friends, even the giving of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was for the sake of Allah, for the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even not giving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at that time, Allah bears testimony to the day of Qiyamah, that was also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we just take some examples quickly, we will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of the expedition of Tabuk, there were those sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had excused from going out in that battle, from going out in that expedition. لَيْسَ عَلَى الضُّعَفَاءِ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَى وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. That upon those who were ill and sick, and those who were infirm, and those who do not have the means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said upon them, there is absolutely no blame. But even in that state and in that condition, there were some of them that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked for some means and some conveyances. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that time and that occasion had absolutely nothing. There was no horse, no camel, no donkey to facilitate the transport of these individuals. قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so fondly remembers this incident in the Quran. That O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they had come, at that time, what was the condition and the state of your heart when you had to say to them, لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. I do not have the means to purchase, to give you any form of conveyance. They turn away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in one narration, they begin to cry. The tears come down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tears. But perhaps the very important thing is, look at the dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazanan, they grieve. And why was that grief? That they were unable to go out in the path of Allah. Today we all grieve. Today we all cry. There is a loss of something and something in our lives. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. There is somebody leaving us that is very close to us. There is some loss. There is some theft that takes place. There is always some form of grief. And our grief usually is a worldly grief. But these great sahaba, these great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their grief was more that they were unable to participate and go out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now friends, we'll just do two more examples. And then we will continue with other aspects of the dedication to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah of the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that ayat commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, take the wealth of the people. Sometimes it may be zakat, sometimes it will be optional and voluntary charities that one would give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, what you should do, when you take that wealth, taking the wealth will purify them, it will cleanse them, wasalli alayhim, and then at that time make dua for them. At that time make dua for the people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that when this ayah was revealed, then immediately comes Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know a very wealthy sahabi, and this sahabi then makes his submission to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He places in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam huge quantities of wealth to be distributed for the sake of Allah. Then Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, then there were those sahaba who had absolutely nothing, but the desire that comes in their heart that we must spend something for the sake of Allah. That desire comes in the heart that we must earn the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says some of the sahaba go out. They go out to work. They carry the loads of others. In other words, a menial task in our terms. They will carry it out so they may earn. And the reason that they earn was not for expansion and material gain, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But they would do it for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and whatever they earned, they brought and they placed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amongst them was one sahabi, Abu Khaythama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This sahabi had brought one sa', just about 3.2 kilograms of something, and he placed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the munafiqeen and the onlookers, they are looking at this, and when Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu brings that huge quantity, he begins to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of this. And when this young sahabi brings a little bit, a small quantity in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they ask the question, is Allah in need of all this? Now this Abu Khaythama, a very marvelous incident that had taken place with regards to him at the time of the expedition of Tabuk, that he is sitting in Medina Munawwara. Some years later, Allah Ta'ala changes his condition. He becomes affluent. He has a wonderful date orchard. And he's sitting in his date orchard. Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already emerged. He had left for the bath for the expedition. And Abu Khaythama sits in Medina Munawwara. His family serves him with some ice cold water and also some lovely dates and khajur. And this sahabi begins to ponder. And this is the important aspect of the dedication, friends, that we need to think about it in the light of this sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that the thought comes into his mind that I am having all these great pleasures, I'm enjoying these pleasures that are here in Medina Munawwara, sitting in the luxury and in the comfort and the shade of my date orchards. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is toiling away there in the hot sands. Abu Khaythama radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves all that. He takes his conveyance, and Abu Khaythama radiallahu ta'ala anhu then travels all alone to catch up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such was the dedication and the thoughts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On that there was another great sahabi, a very famous sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This sahabi in Medina Munawwara was making the preparations to leave for that particular expedition, the expedition of Tabuk. And what happens to him? His camel becomes sick and he's unable to use and utilize that camel for this journey. This sahabi walks all the way with his goods laden on his back to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we can go on and on and on, speaking about the dedication of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But perhaps, friends, we need to ask ourselves some very pertinent questions also. how much do we acknowledge the fact that whatever we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much do we acknowledge the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beloved sahaba had toiled, had made an effort for this beautiful deen for you and I to be here? There is no doubt in the fact that this dunya is a dunya of earning. This dunya is a dunya of learning. This world is a world of material pursuits. But at the same time, we need to understand and realize that we need to do things for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to contribute in any manner, in whatever way, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day, is sitting at a place, and he makes a statement in front of some of those that were around him, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Umar ibn Khattab the choice of expressing his one desire, his one tamanna, then that desire and tamanna Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have expressed to Allah in the following manner. At this stage, can we imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by some mysterious way, we come to know that Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us that opportunity. Make one dua and that dua is accepted. At that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I would have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressing this one tamanna, this one desire, O Allah, I am most desirous of the fact that you give me three persons like the three great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the only reason that I have this desire is that I can place them in different parts of the Islamic hukumat. Perhaps these sahaba had already left the world, or they were serving in different places. But a little more than that, that these people could be placed in different parts of the Islamic hukumat, so they could serve for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one chance of one dua, that would have been my dua. Then we find another sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ka'b ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This sahabi serves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he remained so constantly with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go into the hujrah, he would go into his room, this sahabi would sleep in the masjid. To this extent, that some had even called him the mat, or the doormat of Masjid al-Nabawi. That the doormat remains at the door all the time. And he would remain at the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time, waiting for that occasion to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He himself says on one occasion, I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said to me, that why don't you make a request, a dua? And if you make that request and that dua, then I will seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you whatever it is. Now friends, again, this is the only opportunity, or one opportunity in a lifetime, that a person perhaps gets. What does this young sahabi seek, and what does he ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for? This young sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no other desire. The only desire is that I be with you in Jannat. Friends, that I be with you in Jannat. Jannat also was not the intention, but together with Jannat was the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked him the next time, the second time, is that all? In other words, do you not have anything more to ask for? This sahabi again says, Ya Rasulullah, that's it. There is nothing more that I desire in this world, but I desire to be with you. Now we can understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very high and lofty maqam, a very high and lofty status in Jannat. So the ulama have expressed the view that perhaps what is intended here is that I will have access to you, to visit you all the time, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds, and obviously acknowledging that he will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you need to assist me with the fact that you make abundant sajda, in other words, abundant nafil salat. When you're speaking about Sayyidina Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, friends, sincerity, sincerity of intention, to do things for the sake of Allah, to eliminate ostentation and pride, and to eliminate doing things for show. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been a marvelous example. On one occasion, people put him in front to perform the salat, to become the imam. He performs that salat, and after performing that salat, Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to his people that as from tomorrow, you people should find another imam. But I am not in the position of performing the salat. And the only reason is that when I went forward, the thought had entered my heart that perhaps I am better than you. And because of that, I will refuse to make the imamate once again. On that we find that there was one pious personality. It has been written about him that for 30 years, the person did not miss his salat with jamaat, and he did not miss his takbir-e-ula. For 30 years, this was the condition of this man. After the 30-year period, on one occasion when he came into the masjid, the salat had already begun, the jamaat had already started. This person stands at the back of the saf, and after the imam makes salam, he stands up to complete that one rakat, and on doing so, a thought enters his heart. Ever since that thought entered his heart, his only action for a few days was to go to the masjid, perform his salat, and go into total aloofness. When some of his students and disciples meet him after a few days, and they ask him, what has happened to you? We don't see you. We do not have the opportunity to learn from you and sit with you. He responded that on that occasion, when I stood up behind everyone else, the thought had occurred to me, perhaps there was no dedication and sincerity in the 30 years performing salat with jamaat with takbir-e-ula. The thought had come to me that perhaps I had done it for any other reason but for the sake of Allah. So I went into this state in which I remained in my room and went into the masjid to perform the salat so that I make qada of those 30 years. Now friends, these are things that are appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they may seem difficult for us. But when you look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how appreciative Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala is with the simple things that a person can carry out for the sake of Allah. And of course, it is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in Tirmidhi, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has a dream. And we know that the dream of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam was wahi from Allah. And in that dream, the Mala'ul A'la, the high-ranking Malaika, are having a discussion amongst themselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked in the dream, do you know what the discussion is all about? And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is also told at the same time that they are discussing the highest rank in Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam queried in the dream, tell me which is, and for who is the highest rank in Jannat? Now brothers, when we hear the highest rank in Jannat, we will expect an answer something like giving one's whole life for the sake of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. But very simply the response comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isbaghul wudu ala al-makari. That a person should make a proper wudu, even if it is disliked. In other words, even if the situation and the condition are not conducive at that time, extreme cold for example, even then one should endeavor to perform a proper and a complete wudu. And for that, in this hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, a person gains the highest rank in Jannah, just on this wudu itself. On the one hand, when we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find most of the hadith indicating that one should try and make one's wudu at home. To emerge from one's home in the state of wudu. And for that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when one emerges towards the masjid, for one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that individual 10 rewards. For one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person. For one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the rank of that person. The person comes into the masjid. He waits for the salat to begin. He is deemed in the books of Allah as one who is already in salat. He completes his salat. I'm just condensing it very quickly. He completes his salat. And he remains in that position. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala appoints the malaika to make dua, Allahumma fil lahu warhamhu. Oh Allah, forgive this person. Oh Allah, have mercy upon this person. We have the very great fortune amongst ourselves that we have great, great awliya and akabir, that we will go from time to time and seek their du'as. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending the malaika to make du'a. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that continues so long as he is not a means of taklif for the other person. And just as I walked in, I thought of one form of taklif. We park our cars in an inappropriate manner. So long as those things does not exist, these malaika make that du'a for that person, and so long as his wudu does not break, or he does not speak to anyone. Now how easy is this simple thing? After we complete our first salat, we read our sunnahs, our witr. Just to sit in that position, even if it is for 30 seconds, for 30 seconds we gain the du'as of the malaika. For 30 seconds we will gain that du'a of maghfirat, that du'a of rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is so easy and acknowledged by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality. But friends, let us try and learn to dedicate ourselves, and whatever we do it for the sake of Allah, we do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We acknowledge the efforts of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and this for sure will become a way in which we gain closeness to Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.